welcome to whatever time it is in your life. This is the Trust the Wizard album review mini podcast. This week there's only two wizards. I'm here's myself, Rebel Rickett, and I'm joined by Mr. Kickravel.
Yeah, hello, good evening.
And what we don't have tonight is Mr. Sharitho Garbanzo.
He's very much the number two wizard, isn't he?
He is now, certainly, him not being here.
Yeah.
He's actually rung in
with,
sick.
With the number twos, of course.
He's number
see
two.
See what I was doing there?
The running number twos.
Yeah. There's a lot of evacuation going on, isn't there?
Yes, I believe there's a lot of evacuation going in the Garbanzo household. There'll be some real bad reeks coming from there.
Do we need to go on about this, really? I mean, you know, hello, Sharitho.
Oh,
hope you feel better, but frankly, we don't want to talk about your bottom.
No, he suffered enough, I think. He doesn't want to know about how poorly his stomach feels. He's probably got a raging temperature, very cold sweats. He doesn't want to know about that.
Sore.
Very sore down there by this stage, I would imagine. He doesn't want to know, we don't want to mention that sort of thing.
No, we won't mention it.
Because this is an album review show, not a Runny Bottom review show.
No.
And the albums we're reviewing tonight are...
Runny Bottom by Sharitho
Garbanzo. Hey! Only kidding. No, it's Edwin Collins, Understated, and Wire, Change Becomes Us.
That's right.
And we're going to set off talking about Wire, Change Becomes Us.
Okay.
Kicker.
Yeah.
What were your expectations of this?
Well, it was interesting because before I heard it, I'd heard about it. Although this is Wire's 10th album, in lots of ways, it's Wire's 4th album because all the tracks on this album have been created out of snippets left over after that run of three classic albums that they had back in the day. I can't remember their word now. One Flag,
Big Flag,
and the other Chairs Moving. That one was
missing. Chairs Missing.
That's the one. Yeah. No, they're not moving. They're just missing. Anyway, so
they can't move. They've gone.
So it's a new album, but it's based on old songs, and so that was quite interesting for me because I wondered whether this album was going to sound like those three classic albums back from the late 70s, early 80s, or sound a bit more like the more recent album. So I didn't mind because I like both sounds, but I really didn't know what to expect in that sense. It sounds like the last album. It doesn't sound like the old ones.
I think you're right. I know last time I was moaning on about listening to a new record and it not striking a chord straight away. I'm being a bit frustrated by that. And this album, to be fair, I wasn't worried about that because you don't expect that from Wire. You don't expect an easy ride from Wire. You expect them to push the envelope. Even in 1977, they came out 1-2-XU and one or two tracks that were very much in the mould of a lot of other punk bands. They very quickly left all that. And they very quickly became...
Usually under a minute, actually, the song's left, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. By the time 154, they were almost avant-garde.
Yeah.
And the next album they made, I quote here from Wikipedia, so this has got to be right, Documents and Eyewitnesses, was called Almost Unlistenable.
Well, wasn't that the year as well? There was a live album came out around then.
That's
well.
The one.
Oh, is that the live album? Yeah. And I've not heard it.
No, I've not. Well, it's completely unlistenable to us, though. What did we find on this record?
Well, I didn't think it was unlistenable. I liked it. I mean, I think it took a few listens to really hear what they were doing.
Mm.
But all the elements are there, aren't they? Clearly, they've got Colin Newman and what's his face?
The other guy
who's known for Graham Lewis.
Yeah.
They're still there. They've got the old drummer back. And then a young lad who's half their age on guitar.
Mm, yeah.
But all those elements really work, and the sound is great. I mean, I think it sounds...
What I thought was interesting was, I mean, these were... Wire were a very angular band, were, like I say, uncomfortable listening. And they still are to an extent, but they're basically a four-piece. You know, they're not moving away and getting loads and loads of really electronic and throwing at it, although they have done that. So it's a basic four-piece, but they still manage to make very strange sounds and soundscapes, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Should we start thinking about some of the songs then that we liked?
Yeah. Time Lock Fog. Don't even like this one. Time Lock Fog.
Oh, yeah.
Started off, you hear a bottle being hit by a piece of metal. That happens all the way through the song. And it's time up fog, and the fog bit comes in because you've got this swirly guitars going around, which did feel like a fog. And I thought maybe they're trying to capture the atmosphere of working at a train station late at night in a very foggy evening.
Maybe. I think you might be thinking a bit too literally.
I thought, no, I'm thinking too literally. It's more like to be an engineering factory.
That's not a huge jump, is it?
It's not, and I thought, well, maybe I need to be thinking more outside the box, more sci-fi. Yeah. And I thought, maybe it's the fog inside the engineering factory that's driven people to very strange behaviour.
Yeah, okay.
I thought sexual, I thought I couldn't deal with that image, so I thought maybe violent.
Okay, no, well, possibly. I mean, or perhaps a fog with a lack of clarity. Mm. So it's sort of a metaphoric fog as opposed to a fog. But, you know.
I quite like a fog.
That wouldn't be one of the songs that jumped out to me. I mean, I like the whole album, actually. There wasn't a song I thought I didn't really like that. But some of the other ones did a little bit more for me. I'd say Adore Your Island.
Yes, definitely.
I think, when I heard that, especially at the start, I thought, that could be GBV.
Good God, high praise indeed.
Well, I thought there was an element of... Robert Pollard talked about there needed to be four P's. In any great rock song or any great song, there needs to be the four P's. And the four P's are pop, psych, prog, and punk.
Yeah.
And I would say, and ideally, all of them in the same song.
Yes.
And in this particular Wire song, I think they've definitely got a bit of prog and a bit of punk. And I think that works for me. I really like that.
It's Adore Your Island, the one where it had like a Batman. It's a da na 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 na. A Batman style.
No, I'm not sure it went
style chorus.
It's got keyboards on it, which is the very proggy side, but it's got two distinct parts to it. It's quite a slow bit and then a really fast bit.
Yeah.
I don't think it goes like that, but maybe we need to listen to it in the
background. Maybe. Yeah. Now, you help me out here.
Right.
Reinvent Your Second.
Yes!
Lyrical mystery. The lyrics is as I read them down, but I wrote them down.
Yeah.
BFCHOUP.
Did you make an effort to spell out the words?
Yes, I did. I've got it here.
Yeah.
DMMYJUXD USAUOYAY.
Yes.
Did I hear them wrong?
Well, I don't know because I can't remember, but I do remember when I listened to it, I thought, ooh, what's he saying? And then I very quickly realised. He's not actually saying anything.
No.
Well,
and this is going to end to go by.
Unless there is some sort of code which we're supposed to break.
My initial thing was BFC, it's the British Film Council.
Or Birmingham Football Club. BBC, BC. Burnley Football Club.
Burnley Football
Sean
Club.
Dice.
Sean Dice.
Hello, Sean Dice.
Or British Food Council.
It's probably neither of those or any of those. But yeah, no, I think there's more to do with the sound than the spelling there. But isn't it nice to have a song with spelling in it anyway?
It is.
Even if it doesn't spell anything.
It doesn't spell anything. Yeah. But it does beg the question, what are they on about?
I've no idea.
I think it's not even worth. At one point, he does mention Simon Cowell. I think.
Yes. Is it that in that song? Is it the Simon Cowell comes?
A bit later on. That.
Yeah.
One thing that.
Before we move on, with that song.
Yeah.
That's the first song on the album, isn't it? Where Graham Lewis sings. I think he only sings on two tracks. I really like his voice. On the last album, the trees. What was the album called?
Bare Naked Trees.
Yeah, but no, red.
I've got Bare Naked Trees written down.
I think that's a band. No, it's
Bare Naked Ladies, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Red.
I thought it was Red Trees. We really should have done some research. Anyway, on that album, my favourite song is sung by him as well, where he swears.
That's I like that. Yeah, it's my favourite as well.
Yeah, but again, his vocals here I think really work. And I'm a little bit disappointed that he sings on two tracks.
Can I make a point here?
You can.
Because when I first started listening, particularly, I thought, is it me or is the future now old-fashioned? And what I mean by that is because we, you know, Kraftwerk sung "We Are the Robots," and then Gary Newman gave it all that "Our Friends Electric" stuff, and he's got a little bit of that going on, hasn't he? And remembering looking at for the world from 1977, 1979, we thought the future
jetpacks,
all that robots, and that's what they'd sound like. Mm. I don't think we think that anymore.
No,
I think we think the future is more sophisticated than that.
Well, don't we really think the future is just a matter of destruction? Or is that just a very negative take on it?
Let's just muse on that. Are we on the eve of destruction? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah, well, there's a song. Yeah.
I can't believe we're on the eve.
Okay, here's another song I really like from here. Love Bends.
Yes, yes.
Really, I think that there's a real hypnotic quality about that song that's very attractive. And I think it's a line that makes me feel good, and it does make me feel good. I think that it's interesting, isn't it, that a band who really, I suppose, made their name with very short, sharp, punchy songs can also do these longer.
Well, to be fair, I don't know the average length the songs are, but it feels like, you know, most from edge towards 5 or 6 minutes, they're sort of repetitive soundscapes, a lot of them,
possibly so,
you know, building on a theme and getting more and more vortexy as they go along.
Well, that's what's it called? And Much Besides.
I was going to bring that one up. Yeah,
that's a long song, isn't it? 6 minutes or so.
And then he starts talking.
Yes.
What is he talking about?
I have no idea. Because you kind of listening to that, and it's very very pastoral in a way, isn't it? You kind of lose yourself in the circular nature of the song, and it's then somebody comes in and he spouts a load of gibberish, basically, doesn't he? But fair play to him.
Yeah. But I honestly thought that was going to, because it's difficult to understand what they're saying all the way through the record. I think, well, this is second to the last song, and obviously you can hear the voice, so it'll probably be obvious now, it'll sum up what the whole thing's been about.
Well,
but I suppose it does in a way, because it's got no idea.
I mean, I think that for me, the interesting thing about this whole album, as I said, it took a few listens to really get into, and it is quite a dark album. I don't think you could say it's positive in any sense, really. Although, you know, it's a very pleasurable listen.
There's one or two quite, for white, a quite poppy song, Magic Bullet and Eel Song, and I thought, it's disco.
Yeah, that's a strange little song. I read something about that song, by the way, which you'll like, because I know you're a fan of the Anagram, which is why you've had Anagram to pass in this program.
Yes, indeed.
And apparently the original song title was Eel Sang Lino. Mm-hmm. That was the original song title, and obviously you curtailed that. And Eels Sang Lino is obviously an anagram for... Hello? Is this on? Los Angeles.
I just about to say Los Angeles. You beat me to it. Damn it.
So Los Angeles. So
damn it.
Well, if they're doing anagrams in song titles, God knows what they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But does it matter?
It's art, isn't it? All art is useless, as Oscar Wilde said.
Is there another song you want to highlight?
No, I think we should go to the vault.
Should we go to the vault?
Okay.
Well, I said my three.
Is this in our priority order? Is this?
No. This is just my three for the time being. Adore Your Island, Reinvent the Second Wheel, and Love Bends. Those would be my three.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got a clear winner then. Because my three, this is in ascending order.
Ascending order.
Hold on. What's the worst one first?
Well, it's ascending or descending. Ascending's good.
Okay, number three is.
Yeah.
And Much Besides.
Yeah.
Number two is Adore Your Island, and I put Magic Bullet in number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That means we're going to play... Adore Your Island.
I
Wire there with Adore Your Island. And I'm looking here at the CD for Wire, Change Becomes Us. Mm. And
it's red, isn't it?
It's very red.
And that reminds me of the previous title, which was Red Bark Trees.
There you go. But on this one, it's so much as you can decipher anything on the front of it.
Mm.
I think that might be a glass doorway, although that's red as well. And a black triangle,
yes,
jutting out.
Do you not think that potentially could be the entrance to your warehouse with the fog in it?
Could well be. Yeah. But I can't see any fog at this point.
No. It's too foggy.
It's probably upstairs.
Hey. Yeah.
And then on the back, again, a very red theme, and this seems to be looking out of a balcony. It's as opaque as the lyrics are.
Yeah, I think that's fair, yeah.
So they've achieved artistically and visually the same thing. Well done. Well done,
yeah. Good job.
Well done. Anyway, so we're now moving on to the new Edwyn Collins album,
yeah.
Understated.
Mm.
And just to carry on the theme of visual stimulation, we have Edwyn Collins' CD here, and I've noticed there's a fish on the front.
Yeah, he's drawn it himself, of course.
He's definitely drawn himself. Because Edwyn Collins is a very skilled, what do you call that?
Graphic artist.
As he says on the record. Yeah. And the inside cover is more fish.
Yeah, he likes his fish, doesn't he?
Very, very. It's the fine detail,
yeah.
And the it's not brush strokes, is it?
Penmanship.
Penmanship, yes.
No, they look like they might be carvings, in fact. Wouldn't they? I mean, I don't know, they're not, I know it's a drawing, but they have that quality about them.
They do, like a 3D quality.
Yeah.
Talented lad, done well. And then there's I don't really like that.
Yeah.
Inside it, a thing drops out, which is a folded over piece of paper with the lyrics on one side and just blank on the other.
Poor. Didn't really try, did he, with that
side? I think
he lost his... He could have a picture of another fish, couldn't he, really?
He could. Oh man, he put so much work into the other ones. And then on the back, you've got a picture of young Edwin there.
Not so young now.
No, and looking a bit lost, to be honest with you. Not to worry. So, expectations from this record?
Well, you know, it's all about the backstory, really, isn't it? And it's very difficult to listen to an Edwyn Collins
album these days
without thinking, bloody hell, he's done very well to be a...
Well, if we go right back, the Orange Juice, fronted by Edwyn Collins, were kind of the freshest thing to come out of the music scene in 1979. It's hard to describe how different and how mind-bending they were. Because we were used to post-punk had gone to a bit of a rut of all bands.
Well, it's interesting, actually. Sorry, it's interesting, but basically these two bands that we're looking at tonight came at the same time, didn't they?
Yeah.
Really, really were contemporaries.
Yeah.
And they've gone very different paths.
But they were very different paths to start off with, in a way, weren't
well,
they?
Well, true, yeah.
And so we were used to be fair, I guess, I was bogged down in things like Wire and Magazine and bands like that. And the start of indie was really picking up. And then Orange Juice came on with the most sparkly pop songs, love songs.
Funky.
Yes, indeed, like a jazz funk groove going on there, but it was all made to sound unique because Edwyn Collins' voice, it's just there's you can't even believe it would work.
Well, it's rarely in tune, but it was adorable, really, and not only did he have that fantastic sort of tenor voice going, like a tenor.
I doubt it myself, but you never know.
Okay, fine, well, whatever you like, but. Also, the lyrics themselves,
yeah,
not opaque, but incredibly poetic.
Yeah,
you know, and some of the language, the wordplay, is just absolutely phenomenal.
Mm.
Now he hasn't got that now,
no.
So it was certainly not on this album.
It was very pixie-ish, wasn't it, in the very early days? And of course, it had that sort of teenage romance thing, so, Felicity. And when you think about his voice, he used to sing and still does, like he's got a mouthful of Ball Burns.
Yes, Your Factory again.
It's all the factories tonight.
Yeah, there's links and links and links. But this album is in a way his first recovery album, isn't it? Because
I was going to say the same thing. But actually, perhaps we should mention, after going back to Orange Juice, after talking about 1979,
yeah, we jumped for 5 minutes.
Of course, in case anyone doesn't know, then he suffered a massive brain hemorrhage.
Two.
Yes, indeed. Was in a coma for a few months. Lost the ability to speak, walk, move. And they had no idea that he would ever even talk again, and managed to break through that, managed to get his voice back, managed to I mean, it's incredible. These guys to write songs and to perform and do all that.
If you think about on the graphic artist side, he was a graphic artist, but he's taught himself to draw using his left hand.
Yeah.
To an incredible level of quality.
It is unbelievable, but in a way, when I came to them, I thought, well, I want to get past that because, you know, it's almost unfair to everybody else. So, well, I'm amazed that the fact that he even managed to play guitar is remarkable. So, is it just great on that basis?
Well, I think, it's not, I guess you can't say that, but isn't it great to hear him? I mean, I think we can say that. There's nothing wrong with saying it's great to get another Edwin Collins album.
Yeah.
Whether it's a great Edwin Collins album is another matter. You don't necessarily assume it will be, but it is great to have him there. And, you know, we saw, I think me and Chiritho saw him.
Yes, you did.
You didn't, did you?
I foolishly missed it, and then foolishly didn't go to the gig that's happening in 2 days' time.
Yeah. Well, you can't have gone to that because it's in the future.
That's very true, yeah.
But nevertheless, you're not going.
I'm not going.
And I am. But even you know, then he was helped onto the stage, but he sang, and there's so much meaning. And even in lyrics that have been written years before his horrendous experience, they've got lots of levels of meaning that he hadn't really seen before.
He's taken a different whole aspect of
it. But as you say, really, it's not fair to judge it in terms of that. I think it's a great album anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's the thing. I was actually listening to this, I thought, you know, if this had have been the second Orange Juice album, I'd have been happy.
Yeah.
Let's strip everything else away. This is brilliant.
That's a great album, I think. I mean, it's not flawless in terms of how he sings and how he plays, and the lyrics aren't as interesting, but as a complete package, it's incredibly life affirming.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
And
wave after wave of positive, life affirming messages that just make me feel better and better all the time. It's a remarkable thing.
And that's probably him on the phone.
It will be too. He probably heard that.
He's happy to hear it from us, isn't he?
We're off one, boy.
Yeah.
No way.
No. I don't know why Ronnie Corbett's in the room, but there you go. Alright, should we talk about some songs then?
Yeah, let's give it some.
Alright, I'll start us off because I listened to this record mostly actually when I was on holiday, and I had it on as I was doing very little in the sunshine. And the first song, it's good, but it was not great.
Song
number two, when you get into the song Baby G, there's a great groove going on there. There's Wurlitzer organ in the background. The bass line is incredibly catchy and funky. What a great one.
Yeah.
That would have been. What a great second track.
Yes. I was going to say one thing that, because again, talking about, can you get a record and like it instantly?
Yeah.
And with this, I did. And I think that one of the reasons was, because there's a bad side to that, isn't there? I understood the palette, the saxophone, the organ, you know, the three-piece band, all these things.
It's like a stack sound, isn't it?
It is. Very Motown, I thought. Yeah. So that worked. And then, you know, we know the voice, we're looking forward to hearing all that. So immediately, I was into it.
And then you got the pathos. You know, the whole thing about him talking about, isn't it great to be alive? Well, if anyone's going to tell you, isn't it great to be alive?
He knows.
He's the one you want to hear it from. You know, it's not trite when he's doing it.
No.
You know, it's really powerful.
Well, that's right. And you picked what serves me, that the last album, Losing Sleep, did it come out? Well, that was on it anyway. That was a fine record. But this album is the one where he's finally woke up to the fact that he's cheated death.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's actually then starting to analyse, why me? And then on another level thing, but I don't care why me.
Yeah.
It's fantastic to be here. You know?
Yeah.
He seems, and also because I think, you know, Orange Juice were a bit shirty, weren't they? And his solo career was a bit, you know, not cynical as stuff, but it wasn't as open-chested, welcome to my heart, you know.
No, absolutely.
My God, I'm alive and I'm really enjoying it.
I mean, I think if you look at his earlier solo albums, it's all about, as you say, it's a bit sarky, isn't it?
Clever.
And very clever lyrics.
Yeah.
Well, the clever lyrics aren't there at the moment. They might come back. I mean, who knows? He's developing all the time, isn't he? All his abilities and his and all that sort of stuff. So he might move on to that. But these are very straightforward lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
And it works because of that.
I'm feeling lazy and contented. I'm so happy to be alive. That's why I'm living in my youth. That's why I'm living in my truth. I feel alive. I feel reborn.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people.
Yeah.
If you don't feel good about that.
Yeah. Have you got another song you want to talk about?
I mean, the one that I felt the whole thing was fantastic. For me, the punchline, love's been good to me. And, you know, you just think, this is cliche ridden.
Well, it's a very different song, isn't it? Because it's the closer.
Yeah.
And it's acoustic guitar, basically.
Yeah.
And his voice.
Yeah.
It's a very gentle.
And you look at the lyrics, yes, I've been a rover, and blah, 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 and you think, you know, I've heard this a hundred times.
Yeah.
And, but when he picks it up, again with his voice, again with the backstory, and you know, and I do it all because once in a while love's been good to me, and you yeah. think, you know, Ed,
that'll do,
you've done all right there,
yeah, yeah, that's right. I mean, the one I wanted to talk about, another one I wanted to talk about, is the song for soup. And you know, here we've got the line, in my life I'll be all right, I'm so lucky to be alive.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, there you go.
And it's all those later songs, actually. He really starts getting into a groove. And you hear the word living. I don't know how many times, I was going to count up, didn't quite get around to counting up how many times he said that he's living. But I mean, understated, I thought, and also brilliant. In the same way that Dilemma is a solid song, understated, I think, is a solid but a really good song. I think it kicks on a bit with that.
Yeah.
In the Now, another one. I'm living and working, I'm breathing, I'm in the now, I'm working and breathing. He's quite conscious of the fact.
Yeah, but he's sort of not taking it for granted, is he? And
yeah.
You know, and it's, but it's not maudlin.
Not at all.
You know, and it's not, look at me, yeah. It doesn't have that feel at all, because of the musicality that's around it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it really works with that Motown Stax sound that he's got.
It's interesting because, you know, you see so many celebrity, that My Miserable Life memoirs, where people who, you know, maybe been a drug addict or maybe been through some quite bad things, and they're miserable as sin and they're moaning about it. That song is genuinely, you know, he's a coffin dodger, and he's waves and waves of positivity, yeah. Life affirming, joyous.
Absolutely right, and also he has got humour in it. You know,
oh, yeah.
I can't remember which song it is, but in one of the songs he described himself as a singer of sorts, which I thought was a really nice line, and shows that it's not all positive, happy, clappy stuff. You know, there's humour, there's reality.
And there's one line here, and it's one of those lines that you do hear people with disabilities say, because people with disabilities are, yes, in some respects, they're trying to give you away and say, yes, I know. And I can't remember the line here, but there's one line you're thinking, yeah, coming from you, in your situation, thanks for that, because that's made me feel at ease.
Right,
if we knew what the lyric was, it would be the laughing.
The other song that I like, Down the Line, which actually I've heard before, Down the Line, because it was on a compilation that came out last year. But I thought that song works really well within the context of the album. In the Now, Carry On, Carry On. I mean, all the songs are good,
yes,
to
they
be
are.
Fair.
Yeah.
Shall we see which ones we're going to pick?
Let's vote.
Yeah, let's vote, okay. You start this time.
Okay, well, in descending or ascending order, we've not really figured out which one.
We know. If you're ascending, you're going up, and if you're descending, you're going up.
All right, thanks for that. Okay, that's right. Ascending then.
All right.
So, in at three.
Yes.
In the Now.
Okay.
In at two. Understated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the last three songs as well.
No
good reason. Yeah. And number one, yeah. Love's Been Good to Me.
Nah, dear, we're gonna have a problem here.
Oh, wait, there's no.
I haven't got any of those. No, for me, I add Down the Line.
Yeah.
At number three, Baby Jean at number two, and Forsooth at number one. But I also made a note that In the Now was another song that I really liked. So if I had to have a fourth one, I'd go with that one. So I think we should listen to
In the Now.
A cottage by the sea, where I come
Edwin Collins there, and In the Know. No, we need to decide...
Now in the Now.
Is it Now in the Know?
It is Now, yeah. Now.
Is that in the end?
Now.
Now, what? Hold on. You confused me.
Get on with it.
So, now we need to decide, which is the best album of those two?
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because they're both very good.
Edwin Collins, immediately good, fantastic backstory, life vermin, etc. But on play after play, I'm tending to go back to the Wire album.
Are you?
I am tending to.
See, for me, the Edwin Collins album was the one I liked best on first listen, and it's the one I liked best on 10th listen.
Yeah. I think I agree with you.
So, Edwin.
Edwin.
You win.
This week's winner.
Yeah, well done, you.
And it only remains for me to say goodbye to all the listeners out there. You've been listening to the Trust the Wizards podcast. This is one of our little mini album reviews. I say little, we're on 34 minutes, but we'll be off soon. Okay, goodbye. From me, Rebel Ricket.
Bye from Kicking Around.